This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Hunger activists say hunger is prevalent in West Virginia.
So West Virginia has about a 20% child food insecurity rate, which is really unbelievable.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Today, of course, is September 11th, the 23rd anniversary of the 2001 terrorist attacks on America, known as 9/11. Governor Jim Justice has ordered all United States and West Virginia flags at state-owned facilities to be displayed at half staff from dawn until dusk in honor of the nearly 3,000 people who lost their lives that day. For a list of memorial services and events across the state, please visit our website at wvpublic.org. Later this month, legislators will convene a special session to consider changes to the state's child care policy. House Democrats want more than just a tax credit. Brianna Heaney has that story.
A bill introduced during the regular session by Senator Mike Wuffel, a Democrat from Cabell County, would have provided some tax relief for West Virginians who pay for child care. That bill and others addressing child care didn't pass. Delegate Joey Garcia, a Democrat from Marion County, says a tax credit would help, but not enough.
So thank God the governor is calling this. It may be late, but it is an opportunity. But it cannot just be this tax credit. It can absolutely not end there.
There is no official word on what bills the legislature will consider during that special session. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
West Virginia's public colleges and universities are getting help to address the mental health needs of students. Chris Schultz has more.
September 10th is World Suicide Prevention Day. In observance, the Higher Education Policy Commission is distributing campus mental health grants to 9 institutions across the state. The individual grants range from more than $6,000 to $12,000 for campus programs, including mental health screenings and substance-free activities to promote community on campus. Most of the grant recipients are community and technical colleges, with West Virginia University, Concord University, and West Virginia State University the only four-year institutions receiving grants. Sarah Armstrong Tucker, West Virginia's Chancellor of Higher Education, said in a press release that the grants are an important step in addressing the unique mental health challenges that many West Virginia students face. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
Christopher Rowe is a nationally recognized science fiction and fantasy writer. He imagines the future not in cities or outer space, but in rural areas like the one he grew up in. Kentucky Public Radio's Sylvia Goodman spoke with Rowe just after he moved back to the Kentucky county where he grew up.
Rowe says a journalist once described him as a, quote, rural fabulist. And he's had a bit of what he calls a renaissance lately. After a publishing hiatus, he came out with a short story collection in 2017, and more recently, two new novellas. He's working on another one now.
The future happens everywhere. The future does not happen exclusively in outer space. The future sure as hell does not happen exclusively in Los Angeles and New York City. We live in the same time as everyone else in the world. We have as much talent, we have as much verve, we have as much to say.
As we walked through Rowe's hometown of Columbia and South Central Kentucky, he pointed to some of the things that tickled him about his hometown and his childhood. The home where author Mark Twain's parents were supposedly married.
So I can say I played Dungeons and Dragons in the room where Mark Twain's parents were.
He recalled afternoons spent stocking up on books at the library and comic shops.
I became known as the kid who would walk around the square reading. I developed great facility. I knew all the sidewalks so intimately that I could read a book and step over the cracks in the places where they were heaved up and so on.
Rowe just moved back to his home county a few weeks ago, where his family's cattle farm is located. We met at the Adair County Public Library.
I can live anywhere I want. and I wanted to come back home. I wanted to live here.
His writing has often revolved around rural Kentucky, often in the future or in fantastical circumstances.
When I was in New York recently to do a reading, I remember introducing myself that my name is Christopher Rowe, and I really do talk this way.
In many of Rowe's short stories, the idea of home and homecoming are central. He mentioned a book by early 20th century author Thomas Wolfe called You Can't Go Home Again.
Thomas Wolfe was wrong. Not only can you go home again, you can't ever leave. If you search yourself, you will acknowledge that where you are from is part of who you are, part of what you are. And you can't leave that. And for some people, that's not a good thing. There are people from terrible places. I'm from a wonderful place.
Just as Rowe explores his own hometown, walking its hills to, for example, find the source of the town branch, he also has projects to explore all of Kentucky's 120 counties.
I think 120 counties is exactly the right number.
For one, he set himself a perhaps odd goal to ride his bike from each county's town seat to their point of highest elevation. It's ongoing.
You know, you get those places where the roads are a little bit washed out and some coal truck comes around in the corner at 70 miles an hour and you're on a 5-pound bicycle wearing Lycra.
But a more salient project, perhaps, is his Uncommonwealth series.
I have been writing quite short stories, just like 1,000 words or so, about each of Kentucky's counties. I wrote one about Bourbon County that people really like called Bourbon Queens.
Rowe is convinced that every Kentucky county has something strange and unique and, as he put it, delightful about it.
I'm proud of where I am. I mean, if you don't like the way I talk, well, I got no time for you.
He says sometimes other writers and friends don't understand why he would move back. But for Rowe, the people and places that make up his hometown serve as inspiration for fantastical works of science fiction and fantasy. I'm Sylvia Goodman in Columbia.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Mostly sunny today. Highs in the 70s and 80s. Clear tonight, lows in the 40s and 50s. And sunny tomorrow with highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by Solar Holler, bringing clean energy to families across West Virginia. More at solarholler.com. September is Hunger Action Month, meant to raise awareness about hunger and food insecurity in the United States. Reporter Jack Walker talked to Chad Morrison, Development Director at Mountaineer Food Bank, about hunger in West Virginia.
Can you tell us about your organization?
Yeah. So we're a nonprofit based out of Gasway, West Virginia, right here in the center of the state. We serve 48 of the 55 counties by providing food and other resources to primarily other feeding programs, a lot of your food pantry, hot meal programs, really any organization that provides food to people in their community. So that's our main focus is, you know, really feeding people in West Virginia.
And can you tell me about the campaign you have going on right now?
It's an annual event. The entire month of September is designated as Hunger Action Month, which is supported by Feeding America, a national organization. So during the entire month of September, we've got different activities and actions that people can take to really support, you know, to support the food banks, support their local feeding programs, and just get involved in hunger relief. So we build up a calendar of events throughout September that people can, you know, really take action from, you know, talking to, you know, their local government officials, whether it's their mayor, their delegate, their senator, you know, whoever is involved in their community, or volunteering at one of our events or at a local food pantry. So there's a ton of ways that people can get involved in September. And we hope that, you know, by dipping their toe in it in September, that they want to become involved all year long.
Yeah. What can you tell us about hunger as an issue here in West Virginia? How widespread is it?
Yeah. So, In West Virginia, one in seven of our neighbors is struggling with hunger. Over 300,000 people in the entire state and 260,000 in the counties that we serve. One in five of those are children. So West Virginia has about a 20% child food insecurity rate in the state of West Virginia, which is really unbelievable. And we really we focus on a lot of programs that help support children. But we also have, you know, a lot of working families, a lot of seniors, a lot of veterans, you know, all of our neighbors, you know, that are just struggling to make those decisions that they have to make whenever they don't quite have the income to, you know, pay for utilities versus the medicine that they need to remain healthy. People have to make those choices, you know, that they're buying healthy foods or they're buying, you know, foods that may not be quite what their body needs, especially, you know, whenever you look at so many people in West Virginia that struggle with chronic health issues. So a lot of the programs that are operated are really about, you know, trying to get food into areas that may lack food access or to individuals that may have transportation issues or just, you know, don't have you know, the grocery access that they need for the healthy food options that they want to provide.
You mentioned earlier that you like to encourage people to reach out to their local elected officials and advocate for hunger relief. What does supporting hunger relief look like on a policy level?
We really encourage people to share, you know, stories if they themselves have, you know, struggled with hunger or someone they know, or just really kind of, you know, bring that to a really good, strong level with their policymakers. Over the last couple of years, you know, we've been able to work with the governor's office and the West Virginia legislature to enact what's called the Posey-Perry Emergency Food Fund, which has allocated $10 million of state dollars to local food pantries in the state of West Virginia. And that's had a tremendous impact because it's allowed, you know, food pantries to secure the foods that they want to provide, you know, those healthy options, fresh produce, proteins, dairy, milk, eggs, things of that nature that are helping families just go a little bit further and improve their nutrition and their health. So that's been a big, big step for West Virginia. And West Virginia is one of the only states that I know have allocated that large an amount towards hunger relief. So we want to keep that going. That's not a permanent thing. That's a year to year. The legislature has to vote on it and approve it and keep it in the budget. But it's been tremendous for everybody's community. All 55 counties have been impacted by this action, and it's helping, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in the state of West Virginia. So that's a critical step for us. And then, of course, you know, as we try to build opportunities for people to gain income and improve their lives, you know, we want to continue supporting those type of policies and making sure that food access is key on everybody's mind, because it's not easy for everybody to get to a grocery store. You know, some people have to rely on convenience stores or gas stations, things of those nature. So any types of policies that, you know, help improve healthy food access, whether it's supporting a local farmer in your community or just being able to create those types of funds, are helpful to food access in West Virginia.
That was Chad Morrison with Mountaineer Food Bank speaking to Jack Walker about Hunger Action Month. To learn more about his organization's work, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.